Well, I'm really glad to be here today because it was a little dicey with our H1N1 response in our department whether any of us would be able to come. And we actually have timesheets that we're filling out for our H1N1 response to record how much work we're doing on this issue. And of course, getting to come is great. It's a great privilege. And my supervisor wanted to wish me luck before he left. And she's like, you know, good luck. I'm sure you'll break a leg. You'll do great. And you've got some outstanding timesheets. I thought she was talking about this topic. And I was like, oh, thank you. You know, I try to write neatly and, you know, I can round it every 15 minutes and try to do really well on that. She's like, no, I mean, could you just hand those in before you go? Because you want to get paid. So anyway, so if you're like me, if you're any of your staff are like me, and you pile up your timesheets until you actually need to start recording the time you spend filling out your timesheet, then this talk is for you. So here we go. Okay, so I have no disclosures, I have no relationships to disclose, conflicts with this presentation. So let me give you a little bit of background about how this came about. Because today I'd like to share with you a simple technique to measure workload that's useful in a pinch when you need to measure workload for a variety of public health staff, because it's very adaptable. And there's no history of timesheets to rely upon or an information system that exists that can be used to log staff time. And so today I want to provide a brief overview of a framework of issues and caveats to think about if you want to go with this survey approach for measuring workload. So this actually came out of a need. We had to look at our district public health nurse workload. Our public health nurses, to give you some context, are our field staff. They work directly in neighborhoods investigating communicable diseases. They go and actually perform the home visits asking about salmonella or food poisoning, other communicable diseases. They interview the patients in their homes. There's a lot of follow-up work finding the patients and recording their findings from their home visit. But they also do a large component, which is participating in the community's activities, doing community outreach, ask a nurse type of work near, for example, places where day workers are so that we are accessible and visible in the community. Now, there was no easy way to do the traditional approach with doing a time study in the situation that we had. What we had was the executive leadership basically came to the Office of Planning and said, you know, we're finding that the nurses are saying that there's a lot of overburden, they're feeling very overburdened with their workload, they're spending a lot of time inefficiently chasing down paperwork, going back and forth with communicable disease, on finding out where their cases are and what their caseload should be, and whether or not the people are coming back to them asking them whether or not they've finished their cases. So how much time are we really spending on doing these home visits? How much time are we really spending chasing down some of this paperwork? So we could have gone with, say, timesheets or to log time or work diaries, but the executive leadership wanted an answer in a timely way, no pun intended, because we didn't want to overburden staff that were already feeling overburdened to go to staff and say, can you now do even more paperwork than you're already currently doing was not going to be very accepted well. So we were lacking in quantitative measures, but also because of the nature of the public health nurse workload that we have, the workload composition varies greatly by seasonality. So for example, that makes it hard to just do a time period approach, like we'll go to sample 2 weeks and have that be an example of what is the typical 2 weeks. Because say there is an outbreak, or say it's during the winter season, it would really throw off what you think the workload, average workload is. So also, because we have a great deal of variation, they cover a number of diseases, we have a great deal of variation of the types of diseases they may see depending on what neighborhoods they're working in. Some neighborhoods are more heavily STD, some neighborhoods are more heavily TB. They take different amounts of time to follow up. So we really needed, you couldn't just sample, say, a group of public health nurses. We only have 200 spread all over LA, and if you chose a small sample, you wouldn't get an accurate picture of their workload either. So we needed a high level of response. In other words, also a high level of acceptability of the survey. A lot of people would be willing to participate and do it, and it wouldn't take too much time to do, and we could get an answer quickly back to the leadership team. So purpose of the workload was to be able to identify not exactly how much is each person doing following an individual, but to get a gestalt for what is the relative contribution of common activities for their workload. So what proportion of their time are they spending on paperwork? What proportion of the time are they getting to spend going on home visits? In order to identify where is our largest chunk of time going and how can we streamline these tasks more effectively? We also wanted to see how much did nurse workload vary. We had a sense that it varied by neighborhood because based on the cases they had, we had a sense that they may vary by some of the policies because some folks said home visits all the time, some folks said home visits only after making a phone call to see if the patient's there. So we wanted to see how much did the workload really vary. And we needed to have, once again, a low response burden on the nurses, and I think I went over the timeliness. So how did we do this? We created an online survey using Zoomerang, and the PHNs, we went with a self-report where the PHNs told us what they spent their time doing in a typical day. We asked them to think of a time frame that was their typical time frame and also their typical work. And that time frames, and we had several different kinds that I'll go over, helped with, was informed by our qualitative study. We had previously, you know, when we came up with all these issues of public health nurses and that we needed to measure workload, that had been informed by our experience in the field interviewing nurses and doing ride-alongs. We had a lot of qualitative information on their nature of their work. And that is really important for going with this approach, to really know the work. So we needed to know the relative contribution of common workload tasks, but not the exact hours and minutes. So that's key for this approach. And there's two dimensions of workload, essentially, that you need to measure. What are the activities you're working on, but also the time spent on each of those activities. So here's an example of one way we are measuring activities. And even though we did this online, that doesn't show up very well on the page, so I took a piece from our written version of it. And if you want to see is that we went with, on most weeks, what is your typical caseload mix? Like, what is the typical cases that you're working on? And we knew that most of them fell into these four categories. And so we had them think of, in your typical week, looking at 100% of your cases, what percent is TB, what percent is STD, what percent is others, less common cases, and had them think about it in 5% increments instead of actually writing an actual number. The other dimension, most of the work, usually, and this is, I think, is true of a lot of work, is that it falls into, the tasks fall into one of three categories. And I think this is useful for when you're coming up with your questions, because garbage in, garbage out, you'll always get an answer for survey questions, but you might have asked the wrong question the wrong way, so you're not getting the answer that you hope to get. So the time frame is really important. So when you're doing this approach where you're asking people, I think relatively your typical time that you spend doing something, there's a few common tasks. There's ones that are frequent but not time intensive. So that's, for example, like a good daily example is brushing your teeth. Frequent but more time intensive, say making dinner every day, or occasional and time intensive. You know, in our nurses' cases, we would get large outbreaks, say in school or a nursing home. They're occasional, but when they happen, they take a lot of time. So those are, I think, a nice typology to put your work into and help you think of what question would be best, what way to frame this question. So based on recall, once again, we asked for, 5% increments, as opposed to just telling people to make something up. Because this isn't about really getting exact numbers, and we don't want to end up with false data. So that's why we went up 5% increments. It may be more accurate for your group to do 10% increments. That's a judgment call. But here's an example of how you can make time frames vary actually within the survey. So you don't have to stick with one time frame through the whole thing. We actually put people into two groups because some nurses said when we did focus groups to test these questions, some nurses said, well, actually I do a little bit of work every day. I do a home visit one every day and I do paperwork a little bit every day. I like to meet it out every day. Other nurses said, oh no, I do all my visits all on Fridays or Tuesdays because the traffic is better then. So, for example, so we let them choose And based on the question, so if someone here in the survey chose, I organize my work on a daily level. You've got this, and it's a little small, I realize, so I'll read it. Thinking about the time you spend performing the following activities and tasks, please estimate the percent of time each takes on a daily basis. So we just did a skip question during, you know, so only the folks, when you're doing this online, you could have it so that only the folks that said, I organize my things on a daily basis, go to a question like this. And they can think of, for 100% of my day, and these were all common activities that we found from our qualitative work that they all do. And when you choose these categories, you need to be careful that these categories are exclusive of each other. You don't want too much overlap. So you want to make sure that this, and this kind of where you have the choices, these choices, and even how you show the percent increments, these are really informed from doing really good focus groups that we had, and I'd like to point out Kendra Bell in the back, who is a co-author on this, who was instrumental in helping with the creating the focus groups and testing whether or not this was a realistic approach and whether these categories are realistic. So it really takes input in from those familiar with the work. So here's an example of how you can frame a question for rare but time-intensive tasks. And that is you adjust the time frame. And what time frame would work for you, you want to make it so that it's not so wide that people really can't remember. But in our cases, we tend to have these outbreaks on a quarterly basis. A quarterly made sense for us. So we asked, what is the number of referrals that you see? So that's getting at the activities, the first question. And the second question is the time spent on it, so getting on the time domain of measuring workload. But once again, choosing these categories carefully, so choosing 1 to 2 or 3 to 4, it could have been 1 to 4 cases. But 1 to 2 made sense. We have a lot that was falling into 1 to 2 cases, for example, of TB industries, TB cases that were large outbreaks. But also the amount of time you spend, 9 or 1 to 10 hours, 11 to 20 hours. So we didn't ask for people to essentially end up making up stuff by asking for very specific numbers. We gave ranges to help guide their answers. So what is the process of making the survey? I've been talking about it a little bit throughout this presentation. But once again, I really want to emphasize, it really needs a deep qualitative understanding of the major tasks that make up the workload. Because without it, you can't come up with the right categories that really encompass their workload. And you can't come up with categories that are really actually discrete and exclusive of each other. So you can make sure that you really are getting the pieces of the pie, of the total pie of the workload. We had done site visits that helped to inform our initial need for the survey, that our initial questions about, well, how much is data entry and spending time on documentation, how much of a problem is it really? But then after we created an initial pass at the survey, we held 4 focus groups in 4 different geographical regions among nurses in 4 different geographical regions of the county, since we have a rather large county of 10 million people, and there can be a lot of variety of workload, to do a sniff test of whether or not these questions made sense, whether the terminology describing their work was the same terminology they used. And also, this approach works well if you have a discrete population. Our public health nurses, it's very clear what their work is. It's not mixed in with other types of investigative epi work. So you need to use this with a very discrete group of people you want to measure workload for. And also, then you want to think about what domains of work do you want to be measuring. And I've been talking a little bit about this when I showed my examples of our questions from our survey. But you want to be very careful about how your time is binned, like organized. You want to have a choice of 1 to 2 hours, 1 to 4 hours, for example. You want it to be sure that it's appropriate for the activity. For example, I would never choose hours as your answers for a TB case when how long are you spending on a TB case, because they could have them for up to 20 days. 30 days, you know, longer, 3 months. Also, you want to ensure it makes sense to responders, that time period is reasonable. But also, you want to make sure that it's wide enough to include maybe some of your outlier responses. For example, someone does spend a lot of time in particular, especially for us, because we wanted to capture what is our variation in work. But also narrow enough so that you could see a difference between the responders. I don't want everyone to fall into the first category, for example. And so here's an example. How do you look at this data once it comes in. What the beauty of some of the online tools is that if you are familiar with Excel and you're handy with SAS or Stata, you can just download that raw data and do what you will with it in terms of analysis. But this is very simple descriptive analysis that we usually need. And but when you're analyzing this approach, and I think this was a challenge, you know, and even in me describing it, presenting it, because people want to, it's like a hook when you see numbers. You want to hang a coat on it. You want to really believe it. But it's important to emphasize in your presentation, if you're going to go with this approach, that it's an estimate, that this is not actual data. This is self-reported from people's feelings about what their typical experience is. So this is not actual data. And that's another part of the beauty of using percent increments instead of actually telling people write in 97% or give me a percent. Because that can be really misleading and people think that it's real data. So this is, no, this is their estimate. And also, you don't want to report means. A lot of us have just like, well, what's the average? Just give me, like, it's 90, the average is 90. Well, the problem is, especially if there's a lot of variation in your workload, and there frequently is, and your data is skewed, reporting the mean is really misleading. So you're much better off, especially since you want to look at your distribution of your data, of your responses, looking at the median. And so a graph like this is helpful. These are histograms, where you can see the bottom, the box essentially means the 25th percentile is the bottom line, the top line is the 75th percentile, and your median is the line in the middle. So if you look at the green one, there's a line in the middle, that's the median. That's the middle of the 50th percentile of your responses. And the whiskers show you some of the more outlying data. Usually the whiskers are drawn 1.5 times the size of the box. And then the dots are the people that are answering way, way out there. There are single responses hanging out there. So that helps. This is useful in that this gives you a picture really quickly about how work the tasks are relative to each other in terms of their workload. So, for example, you look at making home visits, it turned out to be actually a lot of time and a lot of variation in the time. That's the gray box in the middle. That's the tallest one. Compared to data entry, which is kind of what started this survey interest almost in the first place, where we're like, oh, spending a lot of time doing data entry. Well, in fact, you're spending a lot of time on making home visits. Are we making these home visits on the right people? So that's an example of a useful graph. Here's another one where you could look at the total proportion of time, and then we could see here really quickly in comparing them that, you know, TV industries, we might not have a lot of them because the none category is pretty big, but when they happen, they take a lot of time. There's a large category of them that are happening in the over 40-hour range. That's the blue section in the top, compared to an ACD, an acute communicable disease, for a sensitive occupation or situation where they happen quite frequently, but most of them, you know, are resolved within 1 to 10 hours. Okay, so what are the limitations of this approach? Well, first of all, we have to remember that this is based on recall and their feeling about their typical experience. Thank you. And also because you can't capture everything, you may miss rare events. But they might, you know, they still might take a lot of time, but it's hard to ask about every single task. Also, it's dependent upon the quality of your knowledge about their work. You know, you don't know enough, you don't know the work in detail. You may be asking the wrong questions. You may have the wrong categories in there to be asking about. And also, it makes sense when you're doing this approach, because this is not specific data about any individual. I mean, it's only data on the individual's impression of their workload, not their actual time. It's more useful to show aggregated data, the sum of your staff, and not just doing a performance individual. In other words, it's not good for a longitudinal study looking from time period to time period to time period on an individual, how their workload is changing. And remember, these are estimates. Okay, so there are some advantages, though. This is a little more palatable to staff that are really busy. It takes less time than to fill out a timesheet for 3 months. There's a little bit less data to work with, too. And also, it gives a good overview. If that's all you want, is an overview of how your staff's time is being proportioned. And it has a short turnaround time for leadership, so it's useful for them to get a gestalt in a short amount of time so they can make some policy decisions. You could also use the survey, though, as a pre and post. So you could say, one of the things we're thinking of is changing our policy on home visits so that we only do it for particular cases. Well, how does that change their workload? So we've had this measure now here, and we could do this again in a few months after instituting that policy to see how their workload has changed, if at all. And also, this is pretty simple. Online is pretty free if you have about less than 100 responses, or you don't need a lot of the data to be downloaded. The SurveyMonkey and all those are pretty free for the trial and useful. Okay, so if you have any questions, if you want a copy of the survey, happy to share that, and you can just find me in this email. Thank you so much for your time.